following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Think you've tried everything for your allergies? Well, Allegra works like nothing else. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy, starts working in just an hour, keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It's effective even at 8 times high pollen levels. So remember, you can have it all with Allegra. It applies to first dose only among OTC-branded antihistamines and controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Hi, Tom Baudet. I've been doing this gig so long, I can remember when it was a big deal when Motel 6 put free phones in our rooms. Now I get to announce that our rooms are inside your phone. Yep, Motel 6 now has a mobile app. You can book a clean, comfortable room for the lowest price of any national chain right from your phone. Download yours from the App Store or Android Marketplace today and start booking. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Thursday. Doug Duda, Spencer Schubert, ready to sit down and talk some sports with you for the next hour. It is Thursday, which means Fantasy Football Day with Luke Hoover. And all you have to do is Facebook us or email your questions for Luke from RotoWire. Doug and Daddy, the regular old email address at the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up in just a few minutes, second segment of the show, Randy Cipriano is going to join us. He's going into the UNK / Kearney State Hall of Fame this weekend, one of 5 inductees. And coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Robin Walshett of Husker Online. Akoya Gao made his commit, and Spencer, I'm going to have to be honest here. I know he's not coming to Nebraska. Hey, Big Daddy, 0%, all right? 0%. You knew he was going somewhere. Fine. I guess when I saw that he picked Louisville the same night that Rick Sleaze Patino came in to talk to him.
I wonder if he had those white suits on, you know.
I'm just thinking.
Classy white suits.
How's Akoya Gao going to like playing for a different coach when their team's on probation?
Yeah. You know, hey, good. Good for them. Good for Louisville to still get the kid when they are on probation. I mean, Patino must have had some good things to say, obviously, when he's like, well, you know what, my team's on probation, but come this way, it's not Lincoln.
They will be.
Yeah.
They will be.
Yeah.
There's a percentage of that, probably a 0.5%. But, hey, good for the kid. He gets to play some great basketball with Omaha Central. They're supposed to be one of the best teams in the nation. They will be the best team in the state. And don't forget, they'll be at the Heartland Hoops Classic next February, taking on Oak Hill Academy, the number one team in the nation in high school basketball last year. So that's coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Akoya Gao, don't be disappointed, Husker fan, because it just didn't happen. Just didn't going to happen.
You and I debated this weeks ago, months ago, and we said He's not coming to Lincoln. Let's just get that out of our minds now. You know, Tim Miles, a great basketball coach. He's coming in. He's doing great things for Nebraska. He's not going to get a guy like Akoya Gao in year one. If he did, I don't think he's ever leaving Lincoln. I don't think Tom Osborne would let him. But nonetheless, you just got to let this go. I've read all the publications. I've listened to some of the talk radio, and everybody's saying this is a loss for Nebraska. I don't even think it was a game from the start for Nebraska. They need to have him to lose him, and I don't think they had him to start.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. When you got that many schools looking at you, it's why would you come? I mean, it's not like football where you grew up wanting to be a Husker. So anybody that is mad or angry at this high school athlete, student athlete, hopefully, you get over it. The kid wasn't coming here.
Although I did think he was going to go chase palm trees. I don't know how many palm trees there are in Louisville, Kentucky, but there's another program in Kentucky that might be challenging him a little.
Well, I was hoping for Georgetown, one of the first ones to go after him. Mm-hmm. I've been a Georgetown fan, I guess, much as you can be out here in Nebraska, but that was one of the first teams. Sometime that first team that goes after you, when it comes down to it all, you go, yeah, these are the first ones that showed a little interest. But off to Louisville, and Robin Walshit from Husker Online joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk a little basketball during this football season. Robin, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just wiping off the tears from Hugout's decision last night.
I said on this program months ago, 0% chance. Big Daddy at the time put me on the carpet. I said, okay, once Biggs came in and decided to come from the JUCO back to Lincoln, I took it to 0.5% chance. This kid never even considered coming to Lincoln, did he?
Well, you know, I think there was a small part of him that was a little intrigued about what Nebraska had to offer, you know, with the new coaching staff and the recommitment, so to speak, to the basketball program, you know, with the new arena and new facilities and whatnot. So I think there was a part of him, you know, that also, you know, he's kind of a family kid, and so, he, you know, the idea of staying close to home and, you know, being a part of this kind of resurgence of the program, I think, you know, it definitely made him listen, and obviously he tried to figure out as much as possible because he came down to Lincoln several times over the last few months to meet with the coaching staff for, you know, an hour, 2 hours at a time and help show around recruits on official visits. So, you know, I think that there has to be a little bit of interest there to put forth that kind of effort and, you know, show that much interest, you know, take that much time out of your weekends to, you know, try and learn about a program. So, you know, how much compared to, you know, some of those top-notch Big East schools, you know, it's hard to say. You know, I think that, you know, Nebraska might have been a distant third when all was said and done, you know, between Louisville, Georgetown. But they were right there. I think that, you know, they, you know, at least were a legit contender throughout this process since Tim Miles took over.
Robin, how much of a negative impact did it maybe have on him to be in Nebraska? I mean, you know how crazy people get around this state whenever there's a big recruit, football or not. And when the kid's in state like that, you know, a Jared Crick aspect, when he was getting looked at by Nebraska before he went to Lincoln, kind of had a lot of people on his shoulders saying, hey, you need to go to Lincoln. You live in this state. You need to go to the school. Do you think this happened to Okoy a lot? And do you think that maybe pressured him to maybe go out instead?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, everywhere the kid went, you know, he was hearing from Nebraska fans being basically sold every game, every practice, every day at school on why he needs to come to Nebraska. So, you know, I have no doubt that definitely wore on him and was played a factor a little bit against Nebraska. You know, he came out and said that himself a couple times about, you know, how much the pressure was for him to stay in state. And I think that a lot of people had built him up to be somewhat of a savior for Nebraska. You know, the guy, the in-state kid that's going to come in and, you know, be the catalyst for the turnaround of Nebraska basketball. And the fact of the matter is, you know, he's just not that kind of player. You know, he brings a lot of great skill sets, you know, especially on the defensive end, but he's not going to be the kind of guy that's going to come in and, you know, be a Kevin Durant type guy, you know, that's going to come in and, you know, take your program from where Nebraska is, you know, right now to where it wants to be. So, I think that if he would have come to Nebraska, I think he would have been under pressure his entire career of, you know, why he's not, you know, being, you know, the star player everyone had made him out to be throughout this whole recruiting process. And so, you know, in Louisville, yeah, he's going to have to compete really hard for playing time because their roster's stacked. You know, they're coming off a Final Four season and have the number two rated recruiting class in the country right now for 2013. So, you know, playing time is going to be hard to come by. But at the same time, you know, they have an offense that plays to his skill set. You know, they are able to utilize his versatility in the open court. And, you know, he's not going to have to be that low post guy, which, you know, really he's not. You know, he's not a guy that's going to sit there and put his back to the basket and, you know, bang with, you know, some of the big guys of the Big Ten. He's a guy that likes to run the open floor and face up and kind of uses athleticism. So I think that, you know, I think he made the right choice just in terms of, you know, his own best interests. You know, he went to a championship contender, you know, high prestige, great coaching staff, and in a system that's going to best utilize his skill set. So, you know, congratulations to the kid. You know, obviously it's a big blow for Nebraska basketball to lose out on yet another in-state star, especially, you know, one that you would argue is one of the best prospects to come out of the state in the last 15 to 20 years. So from a PR standpoint, it's a big blow. But, you know, I think what Nebraska's going to have to do is just, you know, take the blow and move on to the next one.
Schedule Louisville. That's what Nebraska needs to
there
do.
You go. There you go.
Robin Washit with us from Husker Online on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert. I guess the one little question I would have, this is he only made one official visit. He was supposed to go to Georgetown officially on a visit next month and could have taken some others. Did he make his commit too soon?
But that's kind of the most surprising thing for me about this whole deal is, you know, I was under the impression that he was going to really, you know, take his time on this process and, you know, even maybe go as late as the spring signing period before he made a final decision. You know, I was under the impression he was going to take all five of his official visits. You know, like you said, he had Georgetown set up for October 12th through the 14th that weekend. That was the only one he had set in stone, but I know that they were working on setting up dates for some other ones, you know, including, you know, likes of Baylor, Memphis, and, you know, a few others. So I think that the fact that, you know, he took one official and then had an in-home 3 days later and decided that's where he wants to go, I think is probably the most surprising part. But, you know, that's a credit to Rick Pitino. I mean, the guy sold him. The guy, I know Okoye walked away from that Louisville official he had last weekend and was just blown away. And then, you know, Pitino doesn't waste any time. Takes a private jet to Omaha, shows up at the kid's house, and was able to, you know, say, hey, this is where you need to be. So, you know, that's why he's one of the best in the business, and, you know, he was able to say all the right things that Coy wanted to hear. And I know that Coy's mom really bought into what Tina was telling them. She went down on the official as well, and obviously, you know, got a chance to get to know Tina even more during that in-home. And so, you know, she was sold on him. So, you know, I think that he just played all the right cards to get this thing done earlier than a lot of people expected.
Spencer, and any coach, and Robin as well, they talk to one coach? Mm-hmm. Well, of course he's going to tell them what they want to hear. Go ahead.
First off, can it be confirmed he was in the classy white suit? I think everybody wants to know about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he was in his Sunday best.
All right, perfect. Well, let's look at Nebraska a little bit in this entire situation. Like you said, you're wiping away the tears. I think Doug and I both knew this wasn't going to happen from the start, but where does Nebraska go from here? Was this they had a lot of eggs in this basket kind of thing, or is Tim Miles still in pretty good shape for what class he's bringing in?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously Coy was, you know, right at the top, if not at the top of their 2013 recruiting board at this point. And so, you know, that's a big name to take off the list. But, you know, there are some other guys that, you know, they're looking at. I think one in particular is a kid from down in Kansas named Torrey Miller, another big power forward, you know, big 6'8", 240-some pound, you know, more of a true big man than Okoye was. He's only got a few offers at this point. I think Minnesota and Nebraska right now are probably in the lead. He has other offers from Arkansas and Colorado State. But he's been picking up a lot of interest from some pretty top-level schools. I know Kansas, Memphis, Duke, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, those schools have really started to pick up their interest a little bit. None of them have offered, but, you know, I think that that just kind of shows that he's kind of one of those late bloomer kids that hasn't quite hit the scene yet. And so he's a kid that I think moves up right at the top of their list right now, because Nebraska has to address the post situation in this class. They have two open spots for 2013, and they got to get a big man. They lose Andre Almeida and Brandon Ubel, for when 2013 season rolls along, and that'll leave them with just Walter Pitchford and the freshman this year, Sergei Vucetic, as their only two big guys. And so, people are saying, let's hold off on these two spots and save them for 2014. Well, I don't know if they're in a position to do that. I mean, they have to address the post. As we've seen, if you don't have a post in the Big Ten, you're not going to do very well. So if they don't land a high school kid, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go the JUCO route or maybe even try to get another transfer player in. But they're going to have to do something. And so I think you'll really see them start to turn up the heat a little bit. And you can see that right now in the next couple of weeks. They have about 30 visitors coming in the next two weekends for these next two home football weekends. So those are going to be some pretty serious weekends for them to really make a move and try and get some kids, because, while they still have time to get a lot of stuff done, time is actually running out right now, because a lot of kids make their decision in November for the fall signing period. And so after that, you're not going to have a lot left to choose from. So this is going to be a pretty important couple weeks as far as addressing this 2013 class.
And whether we like it or not, Nebraska does have to field a team for this basketball season. So it will happen in some shape, and we've already talked with Robin about that. Last question on the basketball, Robin. If you want to read the article, go to HuskerOnline.com with Robin's talk. You talked to his AAU coach, which is the only coaches we seem to talk to anymore. How much of an influence did Scott have on Okoy?
Well, I'm sure that there was some. Scott's kind of been one of those family friends for some time now, and I know he and Okoy's family have a really tight relationship, and so he's, I'm sure, playing a little bit of that advisor role. But as far as at least what Scott Hammer told me was that, Okoy came to him and said, I just kind of got a gut feeling about this, and he said, well, when you know, you know. So I think, if anything, Hammer was wanting Okoy to, really get out there and just see what all his options were. And, that's why he would never be saying, Nebraska's my number one. He didn't even like when Okoy said Georgetown was his number one. Because, he didn't want to scare any other teams off, and he just kind of wanted to see, who all would be interested and who all would offer. And that's kind of why I think the process played out a little bit longer with him. So, I think in the end it was Okoy's decision, but I don't think there's any question that both Scott Hammer and a lot of other influences in Okoy's life played a role in this decision.
All right, Robin, we appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk football on another day, since that dominates the week usually anyway. So looking forward to chatting with you again. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
Check it out on HuskerOnline.com. All the Husker news, not just football, but basketball, baseball, everything else there. HuskerOnline.com. Just everything's falling down around this program, Spencer. Okoye Gal leaves. The volleyball team has lost two in a row. The football team, they're going to go 3-9 because they lost to UCLA. It's going to be a heck of a game against Idaho State Saturday. What do we do?
You sound like a Husker fan, Doug. Yeah. Calm yourself. Oh, no, everything's fine, everybody. Okoye Gal wasn't there. The volleyball team, that's their own problem right now. I mean, losing to Iowa State, maybe credit that to some Nebraska kids wanting to get a chip back at the old school. Losing to Penn State, they did that last year. Turned out all right for them when they lost out there in College Station. Or not College Station, but
College.
State College is what I was going for.
Yeah, the deal here is I think it's going to be a long time before the volleyball team loses again. In fact, let's look. They go to 23rd-ranked Ohio State. Then they're home against Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, Indiana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. November 16th at Minnesota.
Yeah.
Nebraska volleyball doesn't lose until at least then.
Purdue, maybe. Prediction. I was watching the match last night. Some of those people were saying Purdue might be that team that jumps up. We'll see. You know, Minnesota, Purdue, they're kind of in that second tier, but right now it's Penn State and Nebraska's race in the Big Ten.
At Purdue, October 5th. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, when you're sitting back enjoying whatever it is you're doing at home, whether you're reading a good book, watching some television, a movie, just kicking back and listening to your favorite music, do it in comfort with a great recliner, or if you're just snoozing off that Serta mattress at Bruce Furniture, Holdridge, Kearney, Hastings, and Alliance. If you need to freshen it up, if it's been there too long, if the springs are poking through, if it just doesn't look good, if you're redoing your living room, your office, wherever you need furniture, Bruce Furniture can take care of you. In fact, maybe you bring it into the house and you went, this isn't how I pictured it. That's fine. They'll take it back and get what you do need. They're easy to work with, and they're there for you at Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, taking care of you. We'll be back and talk with Randy Cipriano going to the UNK Hall of Fame after this.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
This is Terry Bradshaw. I've won a lot of games by 1 point, so I know the value of an extra point. My friends at Ferguson are fond of extra points, too. Ferguson's been the leader for plumbing and HVAC supply since 1953, so you always get what you need fast.
Touchdown!
And now when pros order online with Ferguson, you'll get Pro Plus Rewards points. Use these points to get stuff like sports gear, gadgets, and more. Check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com and tell them Terry sent you.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
It's another full Friday night of high school football right here and on our World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. On ESPN 1460, Kearney Catholic is at Central City. On ESPN 1550, Hastings St. Cecilia is at Superior. Beatrice will be at Hastings High on 1230 KHAS, while on Classic Hits 98.9, Centura is at Ravenna, and on The Breeze 94.5, Adams Central is at Gibbon. It's great high school football Friday night right here and on the web at PlatteRiverPreps.com.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops as we head through the day today with a high temperature around 80. Winds will also stay variable from 5 to 10. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll drop back to 48 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 66.
Well, at least the discussion now on the mothership, as Dan Patrick calls it. Adam Schefter talking about playing all these Thursday games. NFL tonight, if it's going to be there, we're going to listen to it. We're going to watch it. The Panthers and Giants. Be interesting to see this one. Here's just another gut feeling. Giants roll them. I know they're all worried about that Tampa Bay play. Nah. Of course, I don't know. They never play
Eli
well early.
The backups tonight. Nix is out. Bradshaw's out. I mean, we're going to talk some fantasy football later, but it's Eli and the backups
Victor
taking
Cruz,
on.
Victor Cruz, man. Put him in, man.
He should have some good fantasy prospects tonight, you would think.
Pre-game at 7, kickoff 7:35 tonight here on ESPN Radio. You can catch the game at the Chicken Coop watching the Major League Baseball. You can watch Baltimore play until all hours of the night on the Major League Baseball package. You can watch the college football because that's on tonight with Boise State and BYU. Hope you didn't have to watch that Kent State and Buffalo game last night because that gives a new meaning to Yonner. Wow, that was bad. But whatever you want to watch, it's on at the Chicken Coop, open 7 days a week from you with daily weekday homestyle lunch specials. And if you want to get a group together, maybe you're coming up from homecoming this weekend, party at the Chicken Coop, Kearney Grand Island. They'll save a spot for you. They're there with happy hour from 2 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. Watch your favorite sports on the numerous HD TVs at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Well, Spencer, it is homecoming week here at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and I kind of look forward to this. I do look forward to this every year because there are some great athletes that go in time and time again, and you always like to catch up with some of the names from the past. Some of them are legends. Some of them are not legends because they haven't been gone long enough because you got a couple members of the class of 2001. Like I said earlier in the week, when I called their games in high school, it makes you know how old you are. But this name obviously is synonymous with basketball in Nebraska, not only at UNK, but with the university. And anytime you mention the name Cipriano, a lot of memories come to mind. And Randy Cipriano is one of the five inductees this weekend into the Loper Hall of Fame, and he joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert. And Randy, I appreciate the time today, and once again, congratulations on this honor.
Thank you, Doug. I've humbled and really pleasantly surprised, but it's a great award, and I'm truly humbled and honored.
I know the one thing that comes up time and time again since the class has been announced, and now more so this week that everybody's talking about it again, is the first thing that comes up is watching your teams play on NTV down in Kansas City in the NAIA tournaments, and of course the one magical year making it all the way to the national final. And there was so much more that went into the basketball program than that, but obviously that is one of maybe the two heyday times or prime periods of UNK basketball.
Yeah, and at that time, as you know, there wasn't a lot of TV games on, and throughout the state of Nebraska, those games were all televised. So it captured a lot of attention, and from the west to the east of the whole state, I think as we won games going into that week, every game we had a little bit more attention and more audience, and by the time we got to the finals, there was quite a few people watching those games on TV. Not just in Kearney, but throughout the entire state. And I think it was good for basketball, good for Kearney, and it was a magical week.
And, Randy, I want to ask you, it's always fun to ask these kind of questions to Hall of Famers. Take me back to your recruiting process. We just got done blabbing about Okoye Gaw going to Louisville. What sold you on UNK when you were sitting at Lincoln Southeast listening to the rumblings of those high school teachers?
Oh, I wasn't heavily recruited out of high school. I think everyone had a 5'9" white point guard, so yeah, I wasn't heavily recruited. But I did get a chance to play early in my career at Kearney, and you know, just like a lot of teammates on that team, we worked extremely hard during the summer to get better. As we grew a little bit and matured, ended up being a very good team. Not just myself, but there's a couple other players on that team that, coming out of high school, I don't know how heavily any of us were recruited, but Kearney had a great tradition basketball-wise. It was 2 hours from where I grew up, and I wanted an opportunity to play, and I was aware of Kearney's program, and it was actually a late decision. I had thought about maybe going to a junior college in Idaho, and towards July or August, I had some second doubts and ended up going out and talking to Coach Heiser and played against some of the players that summer and that weekend and enjoyed it thoroughly. Had a lot of respect for Coach Heiser and what he had accomplished. And the program was in very good shape, and they were winning a lot of games and competitive. And I made a late decision end of July, first of August, to go to Kearney. And great decision.
Randy Cipriano joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. And I'm sure, Randy, there's never been an interview or conversation that has not included a mention of your father, Joe, who was one of the all-time great basketball coaches. What about his? Was there ever a thought of going to Nebraska? I don't even mean to play basketball, but how did he help you make your decision, or did he?
Now he, and it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, did he push you? Did he, you know, he never really did. Basketball was a choice that I made. I thoroughly enjoyed the game. An advantage that I did have, well, obviously with my father being the coach, I got an opportunity to play against some of his players. And anytime you're playing against someone that's better than you, you learn, you get better. And, I had a lot of opportunities, growing up in Lincoln and being around his players and learning. And I remember, you know, also I got an opportunity to learn the game of basketball. There were many times where I was in my father's office and, you know, he'd be talking to other coaches and they'd be at the house or we'd be at dinner or lunch. And so I had an opportunity to learn the game early. And I think that was very helpful for me and my development as well. So just being around it was very much an advantage. But as far as him pushing me, it wasn't like that. You know, I had an opportunity to play, and I loved the game, and I played all the time and worked at it. And you know, so, but, you know, there's a combination of things, but there's no doubt I learned a lot, and basketball-wise and just athletic, you know, learning the game. So there was some advantages, but I don't think those advantages of, you know, I was into something else or wasn't into the game, I don't think then there would be an advantage. So, you know, it's a combination of everything.
Randy, you get to come back, obviously, homecoming for this induction. Certainly going to be kind of a nostalgic time for you, I'm sure. But knowing that Coach Kropp is an avid listener of the Doug and Daddy Show, what do you think of his program and how much attention have you been able to give, obviously, staying up there in Lincoln?
I follow Kearney, I think right now they're going through a period of, you know, getting into a position where they're playing some teams that are rather competitive, and they've had some great teams in the past, and the history and the foundation's there, and I think that they do a wonderful job. I don't know if, you know, a success of a season can always be measured by wins and losses. I think they do a good job, and I think it's a great program, and obviously the arena that they have now is as nice as any that they're going to play in, and the community of Kearney has not changed. It's wonderful, and I just think it's a solid foundation.
Well, of course, as they go into the MIAA, see some new competition, kind of head down more towards that Kansas City and Kansas and Missouri area. And just a minute left here with Randy Cipriano on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy, I know that all the UNK alum, anytime we talk to any former players, are going, now, was that guy or gal on his team, and who did he play with? Kind of remind us of the guys that you were playing with here at UNK and maybe who you're still in contact with.
Tom Richtless and Tim Higgins were two great players. Tim Mohanna, I don't know if you probably remember Tim, but, you know, I said earlier, I mean, every team that we played against and every basketball team always had a 5'9 white point guard. And they always had a 6'5, 6'4 white forward that would play hard and hustle, but I don't know if they were as good as maybe Higgins or Richtless. But one thing that really set us apart was Tim Mohanna. You know, he was 6'9", 6'10", and could run like a deer and jump and strong. And there weren't a lot of teams that we competed against that had a 6'9", or 6'10", center that could do the things that Tim had. And so I think, you know, combination with, you know, athletic, we were very athletic. One thing that set us apart, obviously, was Coach Heater. Another thing that set us apart was the fans and the excitement that the community had for that team. I can remember, you know, many times there was 45 minutes before the game, there were lines and people waiting to get into the gym. And so that created a lot of excitement. But one thing that did separate us from all those other teams was Tim Mohanna. I mean, he was a great athlete, 6'9", and, you know, a lot of teams that we played against did not have that type of center. So combination of things. And, you know, I just, we had some, we had my junior year, we had a very good team, won a lot of games. And my senior year, we had Greg Grubaugh and Pat and Mike Lynch. And we just, we had 2 years, Doug, that we were very successful. And we worked hard at it. And I can remember playing, a lot of those kids played all summer long. And they tried to get better, they tried to get bigger, they tried to get stronger, and we were really competitive.
I wonder if Mohana was wearing his red shoes back in his playing days, or if he picked that up afterwards. Randy, we'll let you out of here with this. We talked about some good food yesterday, just kind of part of what you're doing. Let the folks know what you're up to these days.
I have a marketing firm, and I work with a lot of restaurants throughout the Midwest, and my corporate office is in Lincoln. And I have a concept that is called Passport Unlimited, and it's an incentive-driven concept. We target upscale restaurants and professionals, and we link them together, and on the back side, it's data-based. I own some property in the Haymarket, which is downtown Lincoln. I also live on a farm outside of Lincoln and raise llamas, and been married to my wife for 31 years, who is a Kearney grad. And we have a daughter that is a junior at Kearney right now. So I've been in and out of Kearney since she's been going to school there, and have enjoyed my time there again.
Well, that's great stuff. And, you know, having some property in the Haymarket District right now, probably a pretty good thing to have. And maybe one of these days we'll talk about what you do with the llamas too. But I know you're busy, Randy. We'll let you get going, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see you this weekend in Kearney.
All right, Doug, thanks for calling, and I look forward to seeing you Friday or Saturday.
All right, take care, buddy. Thanks so much. Doug and Daddy Show with Randy Cipriano joining me and Spencer Schubert here on today's program. Five former student-athletes going in. The big banquet is on Friday night. They'll be introduced during the football game on Saturday, which kicks off at 4. Janet Picorni-Betcher, class of 2001, outstanding track and field athlete, many All-American and national honors. Bob Bridmore, track and field and cross-country, class of 94. Also, Carla Dobchuk, golf, class of 2001, masters in 2003. She's back up in Canada, her native country, and Jeff Stensloken, football out of Omaha, class of 1982. So congratulations to all of those inductees. That's a pretty good class right there.
Yeah, very solid class, but more impressive. Name another guy you know that raises llamas.
Name another guy that said Tim Higgins was good.
That's that. You heard
me?
That was me. Tim Higgins.
He mentioned a lot of names that I knew, too.
Man.
And I'm trying to remember how there would have been a speck of athletic talent in any of those guys, except Mr. Mohana, who we knew was good and tall and still plays a mean guitar. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. All of our guests taken care of by our friends at BK, Burger King, Lexington, Cozad, North Platte, and two locations in Kearney.
John Gruden here, and this fall I'm teaming up with Corona to be part of their Find Your Beach for the Game promotion. Why'd Corona want me? Probably because of how easily I use words like hombre and mano a mano when I'm calling a game. Truth is, Corona needed my help finding the 30 best destinations to experience football, and we want to send you to one of them. See, a beach is wherever you want it to be, and mine's at a football game in cities where smash-mouth football is baked into their DNA. Like in Green Bay, where it's negative 20 degrees and diehard fans still find their beach before kickoff. Or down in Knoxville, where tailgating is as common as the Sea of Orange. That's my beach. Just visit Facebook.com/Corona and enter for your chance to win a trip to one of 30 game day destinations. Good luck. Or as Corona might say, buena suerte.
No purchase necessary. Trip awarded as travel voucher. Residents of 49 U.S. states and D.C. 21 plus only. Void in California and where prohibited. Mailed entry deadline November 7, 2012 for last drawing. Complete details and rules at www.facebook.com/Corona. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Please drink responsibly.
When it comes to Sunday, after I do all my honey-dos, of course, I head to Cunningham's Journal. Why, thinks I go to my buddy's house, but sometimes whatever you don't know won't hurt. Cunningham's is the best place to watch all your favorite sports, Wi-Fi internet to keep updated on all your fantasy players, juicy burgers, and the coldest draft here in town. Anyways, I was face-deep in my Juicy Lucy until my wife walks into the door. Guess the truth does hurt. Escape Ordinary at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops as we head through the day today with a high temperature around 80. Winds will also stay variable from 5 to 10. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll drop back to 48 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, it's 66.
I got my first real six string.
There is no such thing as a tie, Jeffrey. That's why we have a tiebreaker, and I hit it right on the head.
True that.
Oh, well, we're back. Pigskin Pick'em tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, as my domination will continue.
There's a new guy in this week. I like his chances.
Yeah, I see that. I see that you circled some games. Good luck with that.
Yeah. No, you didn't even look at it.
Well,
I flashed it in front of your eyes.
Every favorite. I'm going to guess every favorite.
Oh,
no?
Guess again.
No.
Yeah.
The first one isn't a favorite.
No. I put some thought
into
it.
That's a push-em. They're not a favorite. Okay. All right.
I'll call my shot now. Right. I will beat your other co-hosts. Damon Day, Jimmy Langan, they're down. They're gone. It's a two-horse race. Well, even Babel, he's out.
Poor Jimmy. He's struggling, man.
You're saying he's struggling from what I understand from your sources. You guys tied.
No. Did Jimmy tie? Did we tie?
Yeah.
I thought you said you tied.
Yeah, so who's struggling when he's tying you?
That's what I'm telling you. I'm terrible. I want people to win. But tomorrow, $60 in gift cards from our friends at Cunningham's, plus a Big Dally Deli combo meal, and we'll get you registered for the 70-inch high-definition television coming your way from Russell's Appliance and Cunningham's, also the Super Bowl party that we'll be throwing in at the end of the year. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-ESPN. That's 3776. If you've got a fantasy football question, get those into us because we're going to chat with Luke Hoover here in just a couple of minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. Luke from RotoWire, you can email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. If you're up on Facebook right now, Jeff's taking a look at that, and you can post your question on Facebook as well. And while you're on the internet, vote on our poll question. I thought this, we got a couple of golf stories here. First, Michael Phelps is teaming up with David Faraday for a live edition of Faraday right before the Ryder Cup, 2 days before, live on the Golf Channel next Wednesday. Now that he's retired, golf has become Phelps' new sport. He's also signed on to be Hank Haney's latest pupil in the Haney Project.
He's got to be better than Barkley.
How much fun will that be? Well, everybody else was kind of a character.
Yeah.
I don't know
how much Phelps is offering.
Of course,
there.
It just depends how much filming they do in the basement over at the Phelps household. Also, I found this interesting as it was announced late yesterday that Fred Couples is going into the World Golf Hall of Fame. And he's only going in because nobody else could get any votes. Here's the story. Elected on the PGA Tour ballot with 51% of the vote. That's the lowest percentage for any inductee ever. Election typically requires 65% of the vote, although there is a clause that if no one gets the minimum, the lead vote getter with more than 50% is automatically elected. Davis Love III and Ken Venturi received 38% of the vote. Mark O'Meara got 36% of the vote. Our poll question today, do you consider Fred Couples a Hall of Famer? What do you think, Spence?
I think he is. The guy's he's won on multiple levels. And, I mean, he's one of those guys. He's been the face of golf. You know, he might never have been a Tiger Woods or even a Greg Norman back in that time. But Fred Couples was kind of the Phil Mickelson of his era, in my opinion. He was always the guy that he's going to pop up. He's going to win his championships.
Phil's won 40-some tournaments.
Yeah, yeah. And Fred, you got to give it to him, though. The guy's won. He maybe hasn't won as much as a lot of the guys.
15 career PGA victories.
Yeah, he's won a major. And I mean, you got to throw – I mean, winning a major anymore, it seems like – well, how many guys have won majors now? It seems like a new winner comes in every year. But Fred Couples was one of those guys. He still was kind of the face of his era at the time. And now on the senior tour, he's even kind of a face for those guys. I know my dad with that senior USPGA, he says he's going to go up there just for Freddie.
Yeah, I think Fred Couples is going into the Hall of Fame now. And again, with Phil Mickelson going in this last year and there's no real age criteria, so I can't say why wouldn't you. I think 5 years down the road or a few more majors or Ryder Cup captain, President's Cup, he's done that so many times. I think then you kind of get a little more, and it's not like Fred needed more, but I think he's getting in solely on being a good guy.
Yeah.
I think that's why he's in this year, because he is a good guy, and pretty much everybody on tour likes him.
Everybody loves Freddie Couples, and if you don't, you got to get checked. I mean, I've been to a couple pro golf outings, let's say, and I remember being a kid. Here's a fun story for you. I was at – remember when Castle Pines had the international, the Stableford scoring? I went out there. Freddie Couples was out there. Basically, everybody under the sun except Tiger Woods was at this tournament. Greg Norman stiffed all the fans, didn't give autographs. You go through some of those golfers. Phil's one of those guys that he'll sign 70 before he gets to the driving range. He's one of those nice guys. Freddie Couples, he will sign every single thing you have. So his autograph's not going to be very valuable in terms of putting that thing on eBay if you got it on a hat or something. But he's one of those guys that he's going to come up. I remember being a kid, and I walked up near the clubhouse because I missed his autograph at the time. I walked up and said, "Mr. Couples, can you please sign my hat?" He not only signed my hat, he asked me how I was doing, who I was, and where I was from.
This was a loaded question. Obviously, you're going to say he's a Hall of Famer.
Hey. There's nothing to be wrong fair, I also awesome. I bumped into Craig Stadler as well, literally bumped into him, and I bounced about 5 yards. Yeah, bounced about 5 yards. Vijay Singh wears too much cologne. But outside of that, Freddie Couples is a guy that he's genuine. He talked to a 9-year-old kid that probably should have been out of his face by then. He was done with his 18 holes and could have got out of there, had a beverage, but...
You can vote today. ESPNSuperstation.com. Is Fred Couples a Hall of Famer? Yesterday, our question was, when will the NHL lockout end? Pretty split vote by our listeners. 46%, though, said in time to play a shortened season. Luke Hoover joins us, as he does every Thursday, on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio to talk fantasy football. And, folks, if you want to get your questions in, as we said, Facebook or email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, you can always keep up to date on the very latest at rotowire.com. Luke, welcome back to the program. How's it looking?
Looking good. Ready for week 3.
These injuries are starting to crop up. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not a big waiver wire person. But if you're tied in, if you have one tight end and he's on a bye, you got to go get another one, or your kicker, your defense. That's about all. I mean, I haven't even had to replace Fred Jackson with his injury, because obviously C.J. Spiller was not on my team either. But anyway, seems to be quite a few injuries with not a lot to go get on most of these waiver wires. Who do you go get this week? Who's the top running back that should be out there in most leagues?
Well, this week it was certainly Andre Brown, for the Giants. Coming in last week, replacing Bradshaw when he went out the neck sprain. And he looked really good. He ran the ball hard, and he's a good north-south type runner. And he's a big enough back to certainly get goal line carries for the Giants. With Bradshaw out tonight, with Hakeem Nicks out tonight, they might have to lean on him a little bit. And he looks like a decent number two running back this week. There's a lot of the really higher-end guys have tough matchups, this week with, like, Darren McFadden with Pittsburgh or Peterson with the 49ers. So Brown's probably the top one. Or if you're really hurting in deeper leagues, a couple names to throw out there. Sean Drone for the Chiefs has started seeing touches, more so in garbage time, so it's kind of hard to say, go out and actually play him in a deeper league. But he's worth maybe adding onto your roster as a speculative, addition. Just at the bottom of your bench, Charles's knee is starting to be sore from, his surgery to his ACL. And then if that comes up again at any point, he might actually sit out a game and Drone could be in a committee with Hillis. Lamar Miller looked really, really good, in relief of Reggie Bush after they got a big lead in Oakland. and he looks like he's taking the number two job.
A lot of injuries, like Doug mentioned, but a couple of guys also coming back from injury. Greg Jennings coming back. He's expected to play. Maybe you can fill us in more on that. Also, Ryan Matthews, a guy that they sat out more so just because he needed more practice time last week. Is this something where these guys are going to come out and perform like they're drafted to perform, or are these going to be guys that have these lingering injuries that might only put up 4 or 5 points?
Well, you know, it's possible they have some lingering problems, that are like Jennings' issue with the groin. That can be something that nags throughout the season. We've seen that with Steve Johnson in Buffalo in recent, the last year actually, and then he had surgery on in the offseason. But anyhow, Jennings and Matthews should both play this weekend. You know, they're slated to. They've been practicing, so they're probable at this point, from what it appears. But if they do suffer a setback, you know, today or tomorrow, then that could change. For this weekend, I like Jennings. I think he'll be okay, but Seattle's pass defense is very strong. You know, it's in their building, so I'd look at him as kind of a lower end number two this weekend. But you know, another guy, a guy you kind of have to start. He's in the Packers passing offense. Matthews is tough to say. If North Turner comes out and says we're going to give him, you know, his full workload, then absolutely start him. Atlanta, you know, just gave up well over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns to Willis McGahee, so Matthews could have a nice game. The clavicle injury, he could re-injure it. If they've given him enough time for it to heal, he's been cleared for contact at this point. You have to imagine it's okay, but it's the type of thing that if he re-breaks that, you know, again, you're missing him for another 4 to 6 weeks, but at a minimum. But I think he's going to be strong going forward.
Well, we've got quite a few questions from our listeners, and they kind of all revolve. A lot of them are overlapping here. So, Andy and Carney, I think we just answered your Greg Jennings question. So, let's get to these running backs. Andy and Carney says, what is Steven Jackson's status for this week? And if he can't play, is Daryl Richardson a capable backup, or would Beanie Wells be a better replacement?
Well, Jackson missed practice already once this week that I'm aware of. But that could just be to rest him up. You know, supposedly he could have gone back into the game on Sunday if Richardson had faltered, if he'd struggled, and he played pretty well. He was, you know, put up just over 100 total yards. He put in a 2-point conversion. He did have a costly fumble for the Rams, but he had an overall good performance. If Jackson, for whatever reason, they may say he's a game time decision. He's probably going to be listed as questionable all week, which he is now. But I don't know that I'd plug Richardson in going against the Bears. That, you know, their defense is strong enough that they could probably slow Richardson. The bulk of his yardage came on a 50-yard plus yard run this last week, and so he's a little iffy. I'd want to see more out of him. Beanie Wells is starting to get to the point where he's participating fully in practice. He looks like his health is back finally, and now with Ryan Williams having a setback with his knee and being questionable, Wells could get a lot of carries, and against the Eagles, if having to choose between the two of them, I wouldn't have any problem starting Beanie. I might even start him over Steven Jackson if he's banged up.
Okay.
All right, Luke, we have another running back question here for you. Pick two of these in a PPR: Ryan Matthews, Steven Jackson, D'Angelo Williams, or Kevin Smith. Mark wants to know.
Number one, I would definitely play Kevin Smith this week. Tennessee's defense has been terrible against the run. They just let, you know, a Chargers team without Ryan Matthews run all over them. Jackie Battle had, you know, like 70 yards on just a handful of carries and a couple scores. So I like Smith. He also catches the ball very well out of the backfield. After that, I probably wouldn't go with Steven Jackson unless they say he's ready for a full workload, you know, which you might not hear until Sunday. That being said, if Jonathan Stewart is out tonight, because he is questionable with his ankle bothering him and on a short turnaround, I would play D'Angelo Williams.
Luke Hoover from RotoWire joins us every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Josh in Kearney says, my running back situation is thin, and my options are limited to David Wilson because Andre Brown has already claimed off waivers. He also had Daryl Richardson, Jacquizz Rodgers, Mark Ingram. Who do you start in this standard league?
Those are pretty thin. You have to start Mark Ingram. That's awfully thin. You have to start Mark Ingram. He's got a good matchup with the Chiefs. He's going to see virtually all of the goal line attempts for the Saints, and you know they're going to get down there and have opportunities for him. He got 16 carries this last weekend, 2-9. I actually recommended him in the flex appeal column I write on RotoWire as a good flex starter, so he's the number one for that team. I don't think I'd play David Wilson. I'd actually wait and maybe maybe end up having to go with Daryl Richardson and kind of hope that Jackson's either limited or out. But, yeah, the options there aren't great, and I just don't trust David Wilson to get enough of the touches this week, or tonight, rather, with Andre Brown having played so well.
Another dire situation for you, Luke. My brother Austin, he has running backs Forte and Ahmad Bradshaw. He's in trouble. Ouch. Both are out. Yeah. He is gone, and he's going to start Jonathan Dwyer. He picked up Kendall Hunter. He wants to ask you, is Hunter a smart pickup, or is there somebody else that might serve him better this week?
Well, you know, it's hard to say how much Hunter will get involved this week, but he has been, you know, getting touches in that Niners offense. If they get a really big lead over the Vikings, which they're entirely capable of with that defense, you know, and Alex Smith playing efficiently, Hunter could see some good second half work. I could see him getting into the end zone. He's got that type of burst to maybe break a long run. So in that type of dire situation, desperation start, Hunter's not a bad play, depending on the guys on waivers. You know, if Andre Brown is still there, obviously you want to pick him up. It's unlikely he is. I can't imagine it. But, yeah, I guess you're going with Hunter. It's not a terrible option.
Let's keep after it here with Terrence, who's back with us. He has this question. He's in a non-PPR league with multiple flex positions, he says. He gives you five, and he plays three of them. He goes, which two of these five should I leave on the bench? And he's got some good ones here. Adrian Peterson, Darren McFadden, Darren Sproles, Percy Harvin, Demaryius Thomas. Which two do you leave on the bench?
Ooh, that is a tough call. I think the way Sproles has been playing lately, I'd keep him active. It's really, really hard to bench a guy like Adrian Peterson, but that 49ers defense just does not give anything up. You know, somehow Kevin Smith totaled 70 yards from scrimmage last week and was solid, but he did some damage receiving, which Peterson doesn't typically do. I would actually end up benching Peterson, and truthfully, I bench Peterson and McFadden. McFadden's not done anything. Pittsburgh's been very strong against the run. I like Demaryius Thomas's upside, and he's hard to put on the bench, and Darren Sproles is obviously playing very well.
Awesome.
Luke, Derek and I have the same problem. He's got Larry Fitzgerald, who's underperformed the last 2 weeks. Would you start Kenny Britt or Lance Moore over Larry this week?
Ooh, you know, I actually had a discussion with a friend of mine in one of my home leagues about this, and was telling him he needs to bench Larry Fitzgerald for Danny Amendola.
Hmm.
And if I could tell him to bench Larry Fitzgerald for Danny Amendola, then I would probably say Lance Moore is a slightly better start. I just don't like Kevin Cobb throwing the ball to Fitzgerald. The Eagles are finally doing it right on defense, which they weren't last year when Fitzgerald torched them. He had about 150 and two scores. But John Skelton was at quarterback, and they weren't using Nnamdi Asamoah the way he's fits the scheme best. He's blocking down receivers again. I just think he's going to be on fits like, you know, like a glove all week or all weekend, and I don't see Cobb taking enough chances. You know, Moore's got a good matchup with Kansas City, so I would start Lance Moore over him. What was the other option there?
He said Kenny Britt or Lance Moore.
Moore is better than Britt. I just want to see Britt get onto the field more often. Only played a handful of snaps last week.
Okay, one other question. Let's go to the quarterbacks a little bit. You were very high on Mr. Matt Ryan last week.
Well done.
Well done. Well done, we must say. He made Peyton look like,
no.
Matt Ryan of the past. But nonetheless, Matt Ryan or Tony Romo this week against that Buccaneers secondary.
Gosh. Ooh, you're challenging me because I'm very high on Matt Ryan for the whole season and just about regardless of matchup. But you really kind of have to play Tony Romo, and I'll be posting that in the game capsules on RotoWire tomorrow. But Romo's looking like one of the best quarterback starts this week. Tampa Bay's giving up all kinds of yards, and I just can't see benching him.
God, I hope so. Come on, Dallas. Chris and Carney says, Cedric Benson, LeSure, or Sean Green, PPR?
Well, none of them are going to catch many passes. But Cedric Benson looks like the best option there. I like LeSure's upside, and he has the best matchup of the three with Tennessee this weekend, but you just don't know how much he's going to get the ball right out of the gate. So, you know, I'd want to see his involvement first. And Sean Green has about as bad a running back matchup as anybody this week. Little-known fact, but the Miami Dolphins have the longest current streak of not allowing a 100-yard rusher. dating back to last season, 16 games, and they've absolutely stoned McFadden last week, and they gave, you know, the Houston back some trouble in week one as well.
This is the stuff we need to know, because I'll just go ahead and play him. Click, click. What happened? Right. Well, Luke said he ain't gonna get 100 yards. Come on, people. Also PPR, Marcus Colston or Steve Johnson?
Steve Johnson this week. And Colston hasn't been himself so far this season. He's dealing with a lingering foot problem. I guess it creeped up late in the preseason and started bothering him into the beginning of the year. They both have very good matchups, but Cleveland does not have Joe Hayden. He's suspended for another three games. And, you know, Fitzpatrick's leading the league in touchdowns right now. Johnson has two of them, one in each week. So,
you said Romo's a good play. You say Kevin Smith is a great play at running back this week. Who of all these players is going to score the most this week in fantasy football? Let's put you on the spot. Pick one player. If you're going to take the most points scored by a player this week, who do you got?
Well, you know, a non-quarterback, I got to go with C.J. Spiller again. He just has looked phenomenal. Cleveland's defense isn't posing a particularly big threat. You know, they've given up over 100 total yards in consecutive weeks to LeSean McCoy and Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. And, you know, Spiller just looks like a machine right now. At quarterback, I wouldn't put it past Drew Brees to lead the league this week and possibly outscore Spiller.
Well, I have both of those guys on some fantasy teams, so I like the way this conversation is going.
Well, then chalk up a W for you.
And who's the guy to avoid? There's always the guy that was a first-round draft pick that's going to have a tough week. You mentioned that Adrian Peterson, Darren McFadden might have a tough week. Anybody else out there that just has a bad matchup?
Well, the matchup isn't so awful, but an obvious name right now is Mr. Chris Johnson. I've been telling some people to bench him. In fact, just recommended someone to bench him for Pierre Thomas this week. My thought process on this is he's going to have a lot more worse weeks than good weeks. You know, he's going to have those huge ones, yeah, at some point, we hope, anyhow, where he pops. But if you looked at last year and the start of this year, I see 14 games out of 18 where he's underperformed. And you know, over half of his rushing yardage last season came in just four contests, and they were against four of the worst run defenses in the league, including three that were ranked 28th or lower against the run. Another one to stay away from this week would be Michael Turner. San Diego is actually number one number one in the league against the rush, and they're just going to stonewall him in San Diego.
I think Michael Turner needs to stay away from Michael Turner.
Yeah, there you go. Last question. We'll let Luke Hoover out of here. Will Victor Cruz have a big night tonight because they're limited on options with the Giants, or will he have exactly the opposite because he's about the only option they have?
I definitely don't see the opposite happening. A big night, maybe not, and definitely not like last week, but he's just going to get so many targets you can't possibly bench him. Even if they double him, he's quick enough to beat doubles. He's a great route runner. He has good chemistry with Eli, so he's going to see a lot of balls going in his direction. And you know what? I wouldn't put it past him to have 100 yards and a touchdown. That wouldn't necessarily be my expectation. Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of more like 80 yards and possibly a score. In a PPR league, though, he could catch a lot of passes, you know, whether they're underneath routes or not.
Last question, subtext A. One of your colleagues, not at RotoWire, but Matt Berry from ESPN, has Andre Johnson as his 24th wide receiver this week, where the rest of his crew has him there. I don't think anybody has him rated lower than that. Why would Andre Johnson be such a bad play this week, or do you totally disagree with that?
He could be such a bad play this week because of Champ Bailey. You know, despite Champ Bailey's age, he is still easily one of the top 3 to 5 corners in this league, and he can lock down just about anybody. I didn't actually see, you know, how often he was matched up between the Falcons receivers this week, whether it was Julio Jones or Roddy White. Obviously, Roddy had the bigger game, and Julio did almost nothing. You know, if he was on Julio Jones and limited him, who is someone I consider to be a top 3 receiver, the Texans just don't throw the ball enough. I wouldn't necessarily rank him as low as 24, but I'd put him outside of the top 15 for sure.
As always, great stuff, Luke. We'll have folks checking you out on rotowire.com, and we'll talk with you again next Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Luke. Great information from Luke Hoover. Be wary, even if the Dolphins don't seem to be good, Don't put your running backs in against them. There is one of your keys for the week. Luke Hoover, every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show, joining us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. And don't forget, Friday night, it's Kearney in Grand Island. The Kearney High School Booster Club is hosting their tailgate fundraiser beginning at 5:30, going until game time. Bearcat burgers or hot dogs, chips and sodas for just $5. Be sure to wear your Kearney Tackles cancer t-shirts to the game. This year's fall royalty will be announced after the game as well. You can find out more on their website at kearneypublicschools.org. We're back to wrap it up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
It's the Great American Fix-Up at the Home Depot. With new projects every week and big savings every day. Like a free gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max Insect Killer when you buy a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fertilizer. Plus, come to our free Fall Planting Saturday workshop for a few extra gardening tips. Do more for less at the Great American Fix-Up. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Get in the zone!
Regular oil changes are the key to protecting your engine. And you can save money by doing it yourself. So come into AutoZone for everything you need to get the job done right. Pick up a 5-plus quart jug of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard filter for just $20.99. Or upgrade to high mileage oil for just a few dollars more. Restrictions and details at store. Count on AutoZone to help you keep your engine running its best. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
Doug and Daddy Show tonight, high school volleyball on Classic Hits 98.9. We've got a Fort Kearney Conference Triangular from Loomis with SEM and Elm Creek coming in. That gets underway at 5:30. And that's not all that's going on tonight. Kearney will host Fremont. Adams Central's at Holdridge. Lincoln North Star is at Grand Island. Gibbon heads to Centura. Amherst welcomes in Elwood and Overton. Red Cloud hosts Blue Hill and Shelton. Wood River takes on Loup City among the matchups tonight. Sandy Creek and Silver Lake head over to Lawrence Nelson. We told you that Nebraska volleyball fell to Penn State. UNK got some competition from Hastings College last night. Both programs are doing outstanding. It was a straight sweep for UNK. That's not a surprise. Division II versus NAIA, but I think Hastings 25-19, 18-14 competed well. It snaps their 10-game winning streak. Hastings will host Northwestern Saturday, and UNK is off till Tuesday when they play another member of the conference in Doan of the GPAC conference. Rex Burkhead, one of 30 national candidates for the Lowe's Senior Class Award. It's on the list 2 days after he was named to the Good Works team. And there you go. Senior Class Award. Burkhead, solid model student athlete. That's basically what this is all about. And Rex is going to be on all those lists, Spencer.
Yeah, that's what Burkhead does.
Prediction for Saturday, Big Red, Idaho State.
I got Nebraska winning. It's a shocker. I got the Huskers beating Idaho State this week.
I haven't even looked. There's spreads out. If Savannah State had a spread, I haven't even looked. 50? Is that what I heard?
I haven't even seen a spread myself. I have to give it to you. I think it was actually relatively low, like 17, something like that.
No.
When it first opened.
No.
Day one, not week one.
No.
When it opened.
No.
I'll have to give you an NTV pool sheet. I'm pretty sure it was in the teens.
No. Quit letting Greek take care of that stuff.
Hey,
come on.
Hey, Greek doesn't even participate in the pools.
Well, you got to get him
He's
a rodeo.
Impartial.
You need to get him a rodeo one.
I know.
Some of that stuff that we don't know about.
He will tell you the best riders, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas. He's got it.
I know.
Your rodeo outlet.
And they've got it for you at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. If you need a little help financing your vehicle, well, Midway Auto Credit treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. They know that you have high expectations, and as the number one car dealership in the area, they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. That's why they created Midway Auto Credit, to give consumers a choice on where to buy their next vehicle. Understanding the economy has been rough, Midway has partnered with several special lending institutions to secure millions of dollars available to lend for bad credit or any credit auto loans. Think Midway.com. Midway, it's a better way. At Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Football tomorrow. Looking forward to some good matchups. College football big this weekend. Supposedly a lot of ranked teams playing each other, Spencer, but we were talking off break that Vegas doesn't think there are going to be a lot of good games, a lot of double-digit spreads, and we'll point that out tomorrow during Pick'em.
You know, the closest game I think there might be out there is the Louisiana-Monroe-Baylor game. That's the game where you just don't know what's going to happen. Louisiana Monroe, the last 2 weeks, they go in, they beat Arkansas. They should have beat Auburn last week. In all reality, Auburn able to eke it out. But nonetheless, now Baylor's going to, what are they, the Warhawks? Is that official? Did I actually get that correct?
I'm gonna have to. Man. I'll give you that one.
I think if I get it, that's a pigskin pick'em point right there. Louisiana Monroe. Got to go with the Warhawks. It's Warhawks.
I've checked a couple of my sources. Can't find a line.
Jeffrey's
on the Nebraska game.
He's going to give us.
Well, the show's over. We can't wait all day for that. That's incredible. Folks, tomorrow Jimmy Langan's back in on the program. We'll also be talking with the play-by-play man at Idaho State. And Pigskin Pick'em and a whole lot more. Also, the Nebraska chapter of the Football Hall of Fame will be inducting some really cool athletes this weekend.
Warhawks, I was right.
Attaboy.
That's right. So there's a point. Pigskin Pick'em. Spencer leads 1-0.
That's why we went a little bit over the time today so that you could be right on the show. It took a little extra time.
About an hour and change.
Hey, we want to thank Randy Cipriano for joining us on the program today, going into the UNK Hall of Fame this weekend. Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com. To discuss Akoya Gao verbally, orally committing to Louisville last night, and of course to Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com, and to Spencer Schubert. Anything cool on NTV here that I should be, outside the ordinary?
Hey, more volleyball, a lot of football. We're getting 13, maybe 14 games on SportsX tomorrow night. So
good side.
I might be passed out. We'll get Doug on camera. We'll get it done.
Get my good side. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.